morning.
Good morning.
Hiya.
No.
Not far enough. Give us a second before we go to Plan B. So we're plugged in, last time we had an issue. Good to see you all this morning. I'll just use my loud voice while this gets going. And how many of you have been in a spot where you're wondering, what do I do now? Like, we're having this moment here. My phone's not working. What do we do now? You been in that situation before? The last time it really stuck out to us was last fall. We were up in Budapest. We got an Airbnb house to stay in downtown Budapest. We drove up there, followed the GPS, and then it dumped us off right next to the American Embassy downtown, which is like a no parking zone, no streets you can drive on, one way. And we just couldn't figure out where we were supposed to be to find this place that we were staying. So I'm thinking, okay, I could turn on my GPS, get charged for roaming, I could text the person, I could call the person. So I did all three. Turn on the GPS, started getting data, it didn't help any. Tried the text, that got there, and then bounced back, it took a while. Finally, 15, 20 minutes later, what do you know? Finally, 15, 20 minutes later, we finally made the connection, and we actually were in the right spot. We just didn't know what park the car, walked around the block, and found the place. And we get back to Skopje the next week and find out we have an extra 150 euros on our bill because that crap turned off. The data roaming. Should just stay at the Ritz-Carlton. Oh well, those things. But anyways, we end up in those situations of what do I do now? And it's not just, I think, with these simple things that we laugh about. It's also in our own private lives, our families, and our marriages. And we have these questions of what do I do now? We come up to a point where we don't understand one another. We come to a place where one of us has hurt the other person, and we have a question of what do we do now? All right, we are going to get this solution today. That's good. All right, just can't look at my smile quite as well. What do we do now? We come to those places in life, and we really are just kind of stuck. Wonder, we wrestle with. Sometimes we find a way, sometimes we seek counsel, sometimes we just get in that place and we stay there for a long time. So this morning we're actually going to come to one of those questions. It's asked by people in this passage of what do we do now? And the response, you could say, starts, expands, explodes the early church, makes it appear. So the last few weeks, actually since we started on August 30th, is that right? August 30th, somewhere in there, last Sunday of August, we're going through this book called Acts. The actions of the apostles, the actions of the Holy Spirit, the actions of God through Christ Jesus, the acts of God here on this earth building his kingdom. And we're finding how we here, the International Church of Skopje, are part of this amazing plan of God to advance his kingdom. The first week we saw that part of that is us just waiting in prayer with other believers, coming together and praying. We need God to speak to us, and we need to share with him within our hearts. One way we do that is Sunday mornings, 9:30. We gather for prayer. There's three of us plus the worship team that joined us. But more of us can come. This is a chance that we can come together and pray. We can also do that in our home groups. We can do that throughout the week at the ladies' Bible study, the men's prayer breakfast. We need to be praying. This is part of what God uses in his powerful way to build this kingdom that he's building. Moving from being just a simple observer like Peter, who throughout those 3.5 years with Jesus, he watched and he asked questions and he wondered and he opened his mouth, made a fool of himself. To this point, after this resurrection, where Peter himself moved to serving. In fact, this message that we hear today is Peter preaching, saying, hey, this Jesus is the answer. And we find ourselves needing to do the same thing. A lot of us have been in church. Some of you, it's your first time, you're just figuring out what this whole church thing is. But no matter where we're at in our spiritual journeys, as we pursue God, we need to move from simply sitting and listening to getting involved, to serving. And whether that's serving here on Sunday mornings or throughout the week, or whether that's through your workplace, organizing people and going out and serving migrants or the homeless, serving orphans, caring for widows. There's so many ways we serve. But we need to do that. Advancing this kingdom is us going out and serving the people around us, being the hands and the feet and the heart of our Savior. And last week we heard very eloquently how this is all done in the power of the Holy Spirit. What God has called us to do is not something we can do in our own strength, but we need His power to be a witness. We need His power in order that we can overcome what's going on in our own lives and power so that we can share with others, overflow. This book of Acts is going to change our lives. It's changing our lives. And today we continue on this amazing message that Peter is sharing here in Acts chapter 2. Let's pray. Father God, we come into your presence this morning knowing that you are here. You've invited us. You've encouraged us. You've told us to be here. So we gather together in the name of Jesus to learn more about our Savior and to see ourselves. To see ourselves for who we are in your eyes. People who sin and yet have been forgiven and brought close to the living God. Take these words this morning from your holy word and change our lives, we pray. In Jesus' name. Let's read. This is in Acts chapter 2, verses 22 through 41. Fellow Israelites, listen to this. Jesus of Nazareth was a man accredited by God to you by miracles, wonders, and signs, which God did among you through him, as you yourselves know. This man was handed over to you by God's deliberate plan and foreknowledge. And you, with the help of wicked men, put him to death by nailing him to the cross. But God raised him from the dead, freeing him from the agony of death, because it was impossible for death to keep its hold on him. David said about him, I saw the Lord always before me. Because he is at my right hand, I will not be shaken. Therefore, my heart is glad and my tongue rejoices. My body will rest in hope, because you will not abandon me to the realm of the dead. You will not let your Holy One see decay. You have made known to me the paths of life. You will fill me with joy in your presence. Fellow Israelites, I can tell you confidently that the patriarch David died and was buried, and his tomb is here to this day. But he was a prophet and knew that God had promised him an oath that he would place one of his descendants on his throne. Seeing what was to come, he spoke of the resurrection of the Messiah, that he was not abandoned to the realm of the dead, nor did his body see decay. God has raised this Jesus to life, and we are all witnesses of it. Exalted to the right hand of God, he has received from the Father the promised Holy Spirit and has poured out what you now see and hear. For David did not ascend to heaven, and yet he said, The Lord said to my Lord, Sit at my right hand, so I will make your enemies a footstool for your feet. Therefore, let all Israel be assured of this, that God has made this Jesus, whom you crucified, both Lord and Messiah. When the people heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the other apostles, Brothers, what shall we do? Peter replied, Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. The promise is for you and your children and for all who are far off. For all who call on the name of the Lord will be saved. And with many other words, he warned them and pleaded with them, Save yourselves from this corrupt generation. And those who accepted his message were baptized, and about 3,000 were added to their numbers that day. The section starts off with, Brothers, listen to this. Jesus of Nazareth. This whole message that Peter is preaching here to the crowds that have gathered is focused on one person, Jesus Christ. This is continuing this theme of advancing the kingdom by giving us today the foundation for this whole kingdom. The foundation for what God is doing. The foundation for God's plan is found in Jesus. So we go back here to this slide here that says advancing the kingdom. Jesus is our Lord and our Savior. Very beginning, fourth slide. Thank you, Alex. Jesus, our Lord and our Savior. This whole message that Peter is preaching here is focusing on the person and the works of Christ. And not just on who he is and what he's done, but how the people that were listening responded to this message. The kingdom of God is Jesus. Several times throughout this passage, he refers to specifically Jesus, or this man, or the one you crucified. This person whom you saw, who you saw his miracles, you saw his signs and his wonders. Jesus, this guy that you know. This man you crucified. So these people that are listening, there's several thousand of them apparently since they respond in such great numbers. These thousands of people that are listening are first of all being told Jesus is the one. Jesus is this Messiah. And secondly, that you killed him. Peter doesn't hold anything back. Can you imagine being in this crowd? I mean, 2 months ago, this was probably the same group of people that were saying, crucify him, crucify him. They were gathered. Here they are, Peter looking them in the face, and none of the politenesses that we use of saying, you, hey, you. No, Peter looks at them right there and says, you are the one that killed him. He even looked them in the eyes. He's not holding any punches here. He's looking at the same crowd that was present, that saw him being beaten, that saw him being nailed to the cross. The same crowd that said, if you're the Son of God, come on down. These people knew Jesus. They had seen his miracles. And they approved and said, you hand them over to evil men. You, the people listening, hand them over to the Romans to crucify him. You killed him. But the next slide here, third one on, says, but God raised him from the dead. Jesus is the focus. These people are the ones responsible. But it says in verse 24, God raised him from the dead. Adi, can you go 3 verses into that, please, now? There it is. But God raised him from the dead. This is bedrock. This is the foundation of this kingdom that God is building. Everything from this point on in this book of Acts, everything from that point on in the rest of the epistles, the writings of the early church, is based on the fact that Jesus was raised from the dead. That God raised him. This is the foundation of our faith. Paul actually goes so far as says, if this isn't true, everything is a waste of time. We don't need it. In front of the crowd that was there when he died, Jesus says, God raised him from the dead. These people could have denied it and said, no, here's his body. These people could have said, no, we actually can take you to where he is still laying in the ground. These people are very aware that something happened. They could not find his body. There have been signs and wonders around them. They knew something, and Peter here is now saying, he is risen from the dead. And what you are seeing now, these tongues of fire on our head, these voices that you hear in your own language, whether you're from the Far East or the Far West, this is the Holy Spirit speaking through us. Remember last week's message where Martin said this, the prophet Joel, in those last days, will pour out my spirit on these people, and your sons and your daughters will prophesy. And it ends with this verse, everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Well, who is this Lord? Who is it that Prophet Joel was talking about? And so in these verses right here, Jesus is given this title, Lord. Or the Lord is personified in Jesus. David says here in a prophecy, I saw the Lord before me because he is at my right hand, I will not be shaken. It says about this person who's being referred to as the Lord is, he will not be abandoned to death. So this title of Lord, the person who will not be abandoned, but yet will die, the person who will rise from the dead, is Jesus. So in Jesus' name, Peter is making the point. Everyone will be saved. Whoever calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. So Peter, in preaching this message to the audience there in front of him, saying Jesus is Lord. He's the one that is in control. There's a very beautiful spot here in these verses that says that God knew all this was going to happen. God planned this, and yet you are guilty. This is showing us the two sides of some amazing mystery of God knowing and planning, and us living our lives, making our choices, and being a part of it. God's in control. We have a choice. And together, these two come together in an amazing way where God shows off his power. Jesus is Lord, is what Peter is saying. God knew this was going to happen. He knew what you were going to do. And yet, he did something beyond that that was miraculous. He raised Jesus from the dead. He's alive. Jesus is Lord. Today, he's also our Lord. We want to take these verses and apply them to what's going on in our lives today. Jesus is Lord, and that he was able to do what God wanted him to do. He had the power. He was given the power. Not only to live this perfect life, but to be risen again. God raised him from the dead. And that same power is alive in us. And God, through Jesus Christ and his Spirit, is working in us today. So even as these verses say how God foreknew, and yet with the help of wicked men, this happened. God knows our lives. And we can trust him. In the time there in between where Jesus was in the grave, the apostles were confused. We've talked about this before. They didn't know what to do. They left. They went their separate ways. And Jesus rose from the dead. And that confusion of the moment, that confusion of, is God really in control, was clarified. And God said with a resounding, yes, I am in control. What man has planned for wickedness, I have a plan for goodness. And through this, Jesus became our Lord and our Savior. So he's our Lord today. Our lives, wherever they're at, whatever chaos we're finding ourselves in, confusion we're in, we can stand confident on this, that he is our Lord. We can trust him. He's ruling our lives. Yes, it requires us to look to him. Yes, it requires for us to ask him to seek his guidance. But God is at work in your life. You can trust him. It says here in verse 36 that God raised this Jesus to life. I'm sorry, it's verse 32. God has raised this Jesus to life, and we are all witnesses of this fact. Exalted to the right hand of God, he has received from the Father the promised Holy Spirit, and has poured out what you now see. In these verses here, Peter's again referring back to this prophecy of Joel, because Joel tells us that God will pour out his Spirit in those days. And here with the same terminology, the same words, he's saying, this is what Jesus has done today. He has poured out his promised Holy Spirit upon us. And what you are seeing and what you are hearing is the Holy Spirit, is God's power being poured out. So in this here, Jesus, the author and Peter, in recounting this here, is telling us that not only is Jesus our Lord, he's also our anointed one. Jesus is the anointed one, the Messiah, the Christ, depending on if you're looking at the Greek or the Aramaic. Jesus is the anointed one, the one chosen. In this time frame, this phrase, the anointed one, was first used generically, somebody who was just appointed to a position. But the church began using it about Christ more and more, and it became to be almost his last name. We call that Jesus Christ. He is the anointed one, the chosen one. So it went from being a generic title, something that happened to Jesus' name, the anointed one, Jesus the Christ, our Savior. In this section here, he makes the point very powerfully. Seeing what was to come, he spoke about the resurrection of the Messiah. He's talking about David, these prophecies that David had. The Messiah himself would not be abandoned to death. And so when he quotes the other verses and says, you will not abandon me, he's referring to Jesus fulfilling this prophecy of David. Who won't be abandoned to death? Who's not been abandoned to death? Jesus. Therefore, Jesus is the Messiah. He is this appointed one. He's the one that God has designated to bring salvation. He is the one God has designated to cleanse you of your sins. So Peter's preaching to his people, the Jews, people who know him, the people who know the situation, and he is making a very strong point. Jesus is both Lord and Messiah. In fact, that's what it says in verse 20 or 36. Therefore, the conclusion of this whole message, quoting of Joel, the quoting of David, the quoting of Moses, and all that happened in there, is this summary. Therefore, let all Israel be assured of this, that God has made this Jesus, whom you crucified, both Lord and Messiah. The conclusion of the matter is, Jesus is who we claim to be. You are guilty of killing him. And because God raised him from the dead, he fulfilled prophecy and is both the Lord, ruler of all, and Messiah, the one that can save. And this silence ruled the crowds as these truths penetrated them. Because it says in the next verse that in the agony of the moment, in the tearing of their soul, these people realized, I'm guilty. I did that. Maybe I didn't know. Maybe I was just a part of the crowd. I did that. What God was doing in his Messiah, I missed the moment. I missed the mark. I missed my chance to be celebrating. I killed him. Jesus, the Lord and the Messiah, I played a part in his death. And I think we can find ourselves right here. How many of you have been to that agonizing moment of the soul when you see yourself as not a friend of God? When you see yourself as the rebel, the Roman soldier killing Jesus. That moment of the soul as we realize that it's my sin, my selfishness, my looking to myself, my identifying myself as the most important person ever. It's all about me. And we realize that's how I've lived my life. We realize that my life really has been about me to this point. As hard as I try to care about other people, I'll protect myself. As hard as I try to give up what I have, I'm always protecting what I have. What do I do? That recognizing that there is a problem in my life, a problem that I can't overcome. This is recognizing that I can't get to God on my own. I know I'm sinful, I know there's something wrong. What do I do? And Peter replies, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. And you will receive the Holy Spirit. The solution to what these people are feeling, their hearts breaking because they're guilty, hearts being shamed because they realized they were involved. The solution, repent and be baptized. Repentance here is that stopping to identify with who you've been. Saying, you know what, the sin, I'm giving it up. Turning away from it, saying, forgive me, God. Repentance is recognizing that what I have done to this point in my life no longer can be the truth about me. Repentance. Turning away from. Stopping that identification that we have with ourselves and our needs and our wants and our desires. Turning away from that. Repentance. And be baptized. The baptism here is saying, identify with this Lord and Savior. Put yourselves in a place where he is the focus of your life. Identify your life, your living, your moment by moment with Jesus. Stop living for yourselves. Live for Christ. Stop identifying yourself as the most important. Identify Christ as the most important. Change your life. He's calling for a decision in this moment. To recognize who they are, what they've been doing, and not go back to it. Change. And it says, you will receive forgiveness for the sins and the gift of the Holy Spirit. So you start off with a clean slate after this, and you're given the Holy Spirit, who we've already heard is the one that helps us to overcome, gives us the strength to not return to that way of life. He helps us then to overflow and share this with other people. Foundation of the kingdom of God is Jesus Christ. Him be our Lord and our Savior. And each one of us, there needs to be a point in our life where we come to this, where we recognize our sinfulness and we say, Jesus, you are now my Lord and my Savior. I live for you, not for myself. However that looks, I'm yours. And we take it for truth that our sins are forgiven and that the Holy Spirit comes to live within us. It says when we confess with our mouth and believe in our heart, we are saved. And as a symbol of that salvation, we are given the Holy Spirit to live in us. We are empowered, given strength, to not be who we used to be. And the lie that says, I can't change, needs to be seen as a lie. When we say, I can't change, I can't stop doing this, I can't start doing this, it's a lie, because the Holy Spirit will help you to do it. It takes us, it takes a church, having people involved in your life to encourage you, to correct you, and to help you, and strengthen you. But it is possible. Because we have been given God Himself, the Holy Spirit, to change us. A new start. What do I do? It says we repent and we're baptized. Baptism. This same author, Luke, was writing about John the Baptist. That was a year ago, unless you have been reading. It says that when the Messiah comes, when this person comes that he's waiting for, he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. Here at Pentecost, we see that actually happening literally. They were baptized with the Holy Spirit, and these tongues of fire appeared on them. Today, we are baptized in the Holy Spirit. We've been given him in that moment of belief. And we can take this symbolism as well, that tongues of fire. Because it says that this fire will cleanse. Anything that doesn't belong, like hay and stubble, things that are hurtful, it says this fire burns it away. And as the Holy Spirit enters our life, that's his role and his job, is to burn away the impurities in our life. To cleanse us. To make us holy. Acceptable. Pleasing to God. The Holy Spirit fire does burn within us. It says in Scripture that the Holy Spirit comes to convict the world of sin and righteousness and judgment. So if you sometimes feel something inside saying, oh, that's not right, I should have done that, your conscience or the Holy Spirit working in there saying, change, let me change you, burn this way. We have been given the Holy Spirit to change our lives and empower us so that we can live Him. So how do we respond today? Repent and be baptized. If we are putting ourselves in the situation and identifying with the people there, for them it was just simply that. Yes, forgive me. And they went and they were baptized. The people were added to the church. Last slide, please. What do we do today? So I think we can find ourselves in moments of our life asking that question, what do I do now? And maybe this is even years after having recognized, yes, Jesus is Lord and Messiah. Whether it's the first time or years later, the solution is just simple. Stop identifying with sin. You see sin in your life, say, no, that's not who I am. Stop. Mind over matter, Holy Spirit over us. God Himself changing you. If there's something you're struggling with in your life that's not going away, look around you. There's people here who care for you and want to be a part of the solution. But it's the Holy Spirit that enables the change. That's right. There's people in here with huge smiles on their faces because the Holy Spirit is changing them. There's people in here who have a story to tell you that God has changed them. God is at work. But it takes us to repent, turn away from ourselves, turn away from our sins, and I'm not going to do it. Not in my own strength, but God's going to help me. And I'm going to bring people around me to help me. It says that they were added to the church there that was caring for one another. Next week we're going to see how this looked as this family life in the church started. But for now, stop. Say no, it's no longer part of me. Find someone to help. And identify yourself with Jesus Christ, the Messiah. That's our response. Because we need to repent and we need to be baptized. If you have not been baptized, next week's your chance. We're going to Montpelier. We're going to be along the river there. If you want to identify and say, yeah, I'm making a clean start, it's time. And for those of us that have been walking and have been baptized and know Christ, I want to challenge you next week. After we finish with whoever is being baptized, each one of us will walk down the water, take a handful of water, and splash it in our face. Because it's a symbol. It's a symbol of living water flowing through our lives and washing away all that was. And that river that flows through there from the canyon is ice cold. And it's clean. It hasn't gone through the city yet. There's nothing impure in it. And that's the Holy Spirit. Overwhelming, creating power, flowing through our lives, cleansing us. And every now and then we need to stop and say, I'm a part of that. That Holy Spirit is flowing through my life and cleansing me today. And I continue to sign up for that. I continue to accept that. I continue to identify with Jesus, my Savior. Jesus, my Lord. So prepare your hearts this week. Next week we'll have that chance. If you have not been baptized, if you have not made this public step, come and talk to me right now. Let's be ready. And for the rest of us, we have a chance this week today to say, I'm identifying, and this is my life. We are about this task of advancing the kingdom of God. Stand strong in this task. That's right. Father God, we want your kingdom to come on earth as it is in heaven. And you've chosen that your kingdom come in our hearts, in our lives, and through us to advance to the next person. So this morning we ask that you cleanse us and you purify us, that you reveal to us there's places in our life where you are not Lord, where you have not taken control, and we give it up for you. And we ask, Holy Spirit, that you change us, strengthen us, and help us. Breathe on us, Holy Spirit. Cleanse us and purify us. And we live for you. We pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.